This is NPR's All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel.
And I'm Noah Adams. Today, the first sampling of the NPR 100. That's our list of the 100 most important songs in 20th century American music. In this case, it's actually two songs. The Elvis Presley record that came out in 1956. It had Hound Dog on one side and Don't Be Cruel on the other. They both shot to the top of the charts and helped signal a revolution in popular music. They also remained the biggest hits of Elvis Presley's career. NPR's Elizabeth Blair reports.
Consider some of the people behind these two songs. Jerry Lieber and Mike Stoller were two white Jewish teenagers who began their careers writing songs mostly for black artists. In 1991, Jerry Lieber told NPR they wrote Hound Dog for blues singer Big Mama Thornton.
She was scary looking. She was big. She had this really gutty, guttural, growling sound in her voice. And the both of us fell in love with her.
You ain't nothing but a hound.
The man who wrote Don't Be Cruel was a black teenager from Brooklyn. Otis Blackwell told writer Bill Lloyd some 15 years ago that one of his early heroes was the singing cowboy Tex Ritter.
When I heard this fella Tex Ritter sing a song called A Boll Weevil, I was hooked, man. But I couldn't buy a Tex Ritter record in my neighborhood.
Now the first time I see the boll weevil, he's a-sitting on the square. Next time I see the boll weevil, got all of his family dad is looking for home.
The main character in this story was also a Tex Ritter fan.
Hi, this is Elvis Presley. I guess the first thing people want to know is why I can't stand still when I'm singing.
Well, since my baby left me, well, I found a new place to dwell. Well, it's down at the end of Lonely Street, that Heartbreak Hotel.
Elvis's first number one hit was Heartbreak Hotel. His second chart topper was the ballad I Want You, I Need You, I Love You. But it was Hound Dog that allowed him to move. And as he said in a 1956 recording sent to fan magazines, the more he moved, the more his audience went wild.
Singing rhythm and blues really knocks it out. I watch my audience and listen to them, and I know that we're all getting something out of our system, and none of us knows what it is. The important thing is that we're getting rid of it and nobody's getting hurt.
You ain't nothing but a hound dog, girl. You're crying all the time. You ain't nothing but a hound dog, crying all the time. Well, you ain't never caught a rabbit and you ain't no friend of mine. Well, they said
Elvis added Hound Dog to his live show after seeing it performed in a Las Vegas casino by a group called Freddie Bell and the Bell Boys. Then he performed it on the Milton Berle TV show. One critic wrote, "Popular music has reached its lowest depths in the grunt and groin antics of one Elvis Presley." Apparently, Steve Allen didn't think much of him either. He invited Presley on his TV show, put him in a bow tie and tails, and had him sing the song to a real hound dog.
Hound dog. I got you a very cute little hound dog right here. And away you go. Who's that?
I think that this was really a low point in Elvis's career. It was something which he felt he was totally humiliated by.
Peter Guralnick is the author of Last Train to Memphis, The Rise of Elvis Presley.
And when he returned to Memphis 2 days later and did a concert, he announced, you know, those people in New York aren't going to change me now. This is the real Elvis. And Elvis had a very clear sense of himself. It hurt him deeply that he should be so publicly rejected.
Soon after the Steve Allen fiasco, Elvis Presley and his band went into the studio to record Hound Dog and Don't Be Cruel. Guralnick says Elvis had a clear idea of what he wanted to do. He was fashioning a new kind of music.
Essentially what he's done is he's changed a song which was conceived originally as this kind of rumba boogie in the style of Professor Longhair or something that is straight rhythm and blues into really a much more straightforward number. The rhythm is what drives it. And the words are of less and less consequence.
Well, they said you was high class. Well, that was just a lie. Yeah, they said you was high class. Well, that was just a lie. Well, you ain't never caught a habit and you ain't no friend of mine.
Kalanick says Elvis took control of the session, insisting on multiple takes until he was satisfied, and directing the musicians to play what he was hearing in his head. One of them was guitarist Scotty Moore, who says Elvis also chose most of his material himself.
Publishers would bring in stacks of records, demos. We'd go through a stack of demos, maybe a foot high, before he found something. And he had that knack of knowing a song, hearing a song that he knew he could do.
Elvis heard something in the songs of Otis Blackwell. In 1955, Blackwell, who said he often got ideas from romance comic books, was pitching his songs to the publisher Shalimar Music.
And I played 7 songs for a gentleman that was alive at the time named Goldie Goldmark. And I said, it was a few days before Christmas. And out of these 7, he took all 7 songs. They advanced me $25 for each song. And after the holiday, they gave me a call and they said that Elvis was going to do one of the 7 songs. Don't be cruel.
You know I can be found sitting home all alone. If you can't come around, at least please tell the phone. Don't be cruel to who heart is true.
When they told me Elvis Presley, first thing I said, well, who the hell is Elvis Presley? I just thought it was another record.
Blackwell found out soon enough. A month after the record was released, on July 13th, 1956, Don't Be Cruel went to number 1. Blackwell's first-year royalties have been estimated at more than $80,000.
Let's walk up to the preacher and let's say hi to then you'll know you'll have me, and I know that I'll have you. Don't be cruel to who heart is true.
After Don't Be Cruel, Otis Blackwell wrote a number of songs for Elvis Presley, including All Shook Up and Return to Sender. In 1991, at the age of 59, he suffered a stroke that left him paralyzed. He now lives in Nashville. Jerry Lieber and Mike Stoller live in California and say at first they didn't like Elvis's version of Hound Dog. But once they got to know him and realized how musically sophisticated he was, they agreed to write music for several of his films. Elvis Presley built his career on a knack for knowing how to combine country, gospel, and R&B. He was a white singer who sounded black, and critics have written that he didn't give enough credit to the black artists whose style and songs he made his own. But biographer Peter Guralnick says he did, and in a 1956 recording for the March of Dimes, Elvis dismissed the idea that he alone was responsible for a new kind of music.
When I sing, I just sing from my heart. Some people say it's because I'm offering folks a new kind of rhythm. I really don't know about that, though. Actually, my kind of rhythm is really about as old as music itself.
For NPR News, I'm Elizabeth Blair.
Well, you ain't never caught a rabbit. You ain't no friend of mine.